Morning, birds. You sound great. Oh, there he is. He's stepping out there. The best birds on internet radio. I really do. This is all real. Huh. Hey, birds. I got a joke for Easter week. You ready? It's an old one. It's a good one. Yeah. So this little girl is drawing something, and her mom comes in and says, "Janie, what are you doing there?" She says, "Mom, I'm drawing a picture of God." "Janie, nobody knows what God looks like." "They will now." What day is it? It is. It's that old familiar feeling. It's Monday. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. We live through the weekend, and thanks for making the scene here. It's the 29th of March. We're going to end the month this week. We are. In fact, Thursday. Jeez. Thursday is April Fool's. One of the cruelest holidays anyone ever came up with. Practical jokes. We'll fasten our seatbelts for that. Anyway, that's coming up on Thursday. This is Passover, which started over the weekend. The first Seder, for those that observe, I think it was on Saturday. And we'll try to have an eye on all this stuff here. In the news today, a joint WHO China study, that's the World Health Organization, on the origins of COVID-19 says that transmission of the virus, get this, from bats to humans through another animal is the most likely scenario, and that a lab leak is extremely unlikely. Remember the concept, the missing link? Jeez. From bats to something to us. The report's going to be made public later tomorrow. It's been closely watched since discovering the origins of the virus could help scientists prevent future pandemics. So, Dateline Seattle, by the end of Monday, not sure why this is coming out of Seattle, but by the end of Monday, that's today, thousands of yellow envelopes mailed to a squat brick building in Birmingham, Alabama, will hold the fate of one of the most closely watched union elections in recent history. This is a very big deal. It could actually alter the shape of labor and God knows what. Certainly one of America's largest employers. We're talking about Amazon, the Amazon warehouse near Birmingham. 6,000 workers at that building, one of Amazon's largest, are eligible to decide whether they form the first union, the first ever union at an Amazon operation in the United States, after years of duking it out with the company. Union estimates that roughly 85% of the workforce at the warehouse is black and has linked the organizing to the struggle for racial justice. This is hard to overstate the importance of this. Amazon has countered that its $15 an hour minimum wage is twice the state minimum and that it offers health insurance and other benefits that can be hard to find in low-wage jobs. Even the fact that the vote is taking place is a referendum on the so-called future of work, says Beth Gutelius. She is a researcher who studies, get this, who studies the warehousing industry. All right, well, okay. I bet her desk is clean. Whatever the outcome of the vote, which may or may not be known for days, you're not going to get it today, the union drive has already succeeded in roiling the world's biggest e-commerce company and spotlighting complaints about its labor practices. We're going to keep an eye on this. It's important, not just for Amazon employees, but people of all stripes that are, they got to get up in the morning and work. Let's see here. Okay, this is good. These are called oddities. Looking at the Associated Press here. They ran out of big headlines. I think I'll just read the headlines here. Do you mind? These are good. Some Alaska Costco shoppers say ravens are stealing their groceries. What? Where are my birds? Kentucky town rallies to restore beheaded mother goose. That is cold. Rhode Island's runaway steer has been recaptured. I didn't know that it was on the loose. I didn't know that Rhode Island had steers. There you go. Somewhere in America, you'll want to look at this. A plaintiff lost a lawsuit after his lawyer refused to wear a mask in court. Yes. Yes. All right. And finally, from the Badger State, three students cited in theft of rare tree in Wisconsin.
Well, don't come around, yeah, looking for me when your eyes turn me to stone. You say it's not going to be that hard. I can tell you I've got to lift up. Top again. And
that's too bad. I can tell you I've got a pocket full of tricks for those of you who don't quite know what I'm going through. Well, I've been awfully sure again that this
band called Summersault. I hope you like them. It's called Coming Up. At 13 after the hour, here's Pirate Radio from Chicago on a, I guess I could call this Attention Deficit Monday. There's just a lot going on here. I gotta say, I got no sleep last night. We had a full moon. The full moon was exact yesterday afternoon, and some full moons are just vicious in terms of interrupting your sleep. So, up and at them, kind of. We have an interesting conflagration. It's notable for me when Aaron and I stumble upon something sort of independently, and we were both looking at something that came over here, kind of from different directions. It'd be Aaron Mittens, the news baron, who joins us. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. Did you sleep at all last night?
Honestly, funny you ask that. I went to sleep at around 3:30
a.m.
Yes.
Did you? Oh, man.
Unfortunately.
I know. It's a lunation. We'll get into that. Son. That's the full moon is, you know, for all these debates that we have on astrology, full moons are one of the, I think, most definite things that you can see. The body is, what is the body? Is X percent water. And we'll get into that. So, but you look wide awake here, at least on FaceTime.
Really?
So anyway, we both saw this is cool. We're gonna segue. NASA has something called TESS, which is the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. I'm glad you're in charge of naming these, Aaron. Thank you very much.
All right.
It's revealed that its spacecraft, wow, has spotted like over 2,000 planets since the beginning. Wow, go for it. What about it?
Yeah, so this was launched in 2018. And as you said, it was a transiting exoplanet survey satellite. So transiting basically means it looks at stars and it waits for a planet to transit in between the star and the telescope to see the dip in light, and then be able to determine, is it a planet? Is it a large, small planet? Is it gas? Or is it, you know, a rocky planet? And by this time, they were supposed to found about, you know, 1,600 of these, but they found 2,200 potential planets.
You know, not to make of this. I got to say, years ago, when I was looking for a job in radio, which I did every once in a while, you know, every 6 or 8 weeks, for about 20 years. I'd have to find a new job somewhere. And I remember looking at a wanted somewhere. They were talking about talk show hosts. And the wanted said, no band leaders, no UFOs. Now, a band leader, God only knows, I don't know what that would be. You figure it out. But the idea, we don't want anybody talking about UFOs. So that was an era in which there were shows, you know, were based on kind of crazy people. I have talked to people who claim to be abducted. I just didn't buy it. Anyway, when people tune in, you know, when we're talking about stuff from outer space, I want them to know that we're not nuts. At least you're not. I've met you in real life. You're shrugging your shoulders as if the jury is still out.
I mean, you can only know so much for sure. The rest is always going to be up for debate.
There's a book that both of us would like to read, I think. I saw it over the weekend being reviewed. The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy. What Animals on Earth Reveal About Aliens and Ourselves, by a guy whose name is Eric Kirschenbaum. And Aaron, I just sent you the review of this. I thought this is just really interesting. One zoologist, I'm quoting, this is a New York Times reviewer, actually suggests that some answers actually may be hiding in plain sight right here at home. He's a scientist at the University of Cambridge. And the notion of this book, as I can get it, is that he's saying that everything that Charles Darwin was talking about in terms of evolution would still be in play somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He predicts that alien life will bear striking parallels to earthly life. Most aliens will be, help me with this, bilaterally symmetrical and use familiar forms of locomotion, such as legs, paddles, or jets. I don't think
we're solar sails. Solar
sails. You are, some people are born with paddles and some aren't. That's all there is to it. Do aliens have sex? ? He asks. I wish there were an easy way to answer this question, don't we all? Anyway, so you kind of went through this. I think the guy's on to something. I'm very interested in this. What about it?
Yeah, for sure. If there's one shared language between all life in the universe, it's math. So basically, it's understanding how you know, Darwin's theories of evolution are based off of math and science and the universe around us we can't escape from. So the fact that we have, you know, arms that reach out in front of us for us to manipulate things, we have forward-seeing eyes and ears that go to the side for stereoscopic, you know, sound. It's logical why our bodies are designed the way that they are. So you'd imagine that these same laws would apply on different planets. Maybe you'd have different types of eyes that can see different types of light. Maybe you'd have ears that could hear different wavelengths of sound, or new organs that we wouldn't even think about having here. But it's really interesting to think about the possibilities within the, you know, boundaries of science.
I was thinking of stereophonic sound. And you never know. Maybe we'll need 5 or 6 channels in the future.
Right.
Life on Earth, it says here, flourished for 3.5 billion years before humans appeared. His point is that we're latecomers. And that's the other thing, you know, God only knows what the timeline is on some of these other planets. You know, if they've been around as long as we think, so, you know,
that's true.
They could, I mean, we're I guess he's saying that we're a theoretically young civilization, right?
Oh, yeah. If life on Earth took about 10% longer, there would be no life. Just 10% longer. And we have about 1 million years before the sun expands to engulf the Earth. So we have a very small little window to get out of here. Otherwise, it is what it is.
Did you pay your rent?
We're working on that one. Oh,
stand by to see how things are going here.
Patients today have more treatment options against COVID-19 as the FDA continues to authorize or approve new drugs and evaluate other therapies. If you have COVID-19 and want to know about treatment options, talk to your healthcare provider. They'll know the best options for you based on your symptoms, risks, and health history. Your healthcare provider can also help you access specific treatments for COVID-19. and you can contact your state health department for more information. We're here to help. Find more information on the FDA website or contact the FDA's Division of Drug Information at 301-796-3400 or druginfo@fda.hhs.gov.
I stepped on the guy three times. I'm sorry. So it's the COVID. No, I'm all right. 21 after the hour here. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright with Aaron Mittens on the other line here. Later this very same day, Microphone Jones will join us. We're going to talk about what's kicking. And, we have stuff. So listen, I quickly, Aaron, well, maybe not quickly. It's too late for that. But people say, to make a long story short, I always say, no. Too late for that. So last night, of interest to nobody in particular, but here in Chicago, there's a channel called MeTV, and they started rerunning the Ed Sullivan Show last night, and on Sunday nights, I was falling asleep, and I saw this. The interesting thing about this, Aaron, the Ed Sullivan Show, we played a clip from the Beatles appearing on Ed Sullivan a couple of weeks ago. The interesting thing about the Ed Sullivan Show is that everybody watched that. You know, there were only three networks. And we all gathered around with our parents on Sunday nights and watched this show. And it was this real universal thing. So two things about that. I was watching the show and how, I don't know what the word is, how lame it would appear to people today. I played the Mamas and the Papas. They also had Topo Gigio, who was a hand puppet. And a ballerina came out in the middle of all this between two comedians doing impressions. Anyway, it was so lame, you know, but then I thought, well, you know, maybe every generation has these things. So I was asking you and Sparks to come up with what, was there any version of that? And I don't think there was. I don't think your generation, you didn't concentrate. For one thing, there were all these channels. So you didn't.
How?
Go ahead.
How often did they release new episodes?
Ed Sullivan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that. This thing that they had on TV, that was a weekly show on Sunday nights. And this looked to me like it clearly was edited. But we'll have to see, you know. Yeah, I don't know. We'll monitor that.
I think the closest thing for us would be Oprah. Yeah. That's all I could think about because Oprah? That was the only time where you could, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Oprah.
It was the only
really.
Time you could see, like, come home at 4 p.m. and see, you know, the Pope or Michael Jackson or Dave Chappelle being interviewed.
Yeah.
And everybody was watching Oprah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't think of anything else.
That's pretty hip, though. You know, that is pretty hip. All right. Well, I'm going to put that down. So, yeah, maybe we'll do a thing on all that. Somebody was asking me about vaudeville the other day. And it wasn't you because you knew that vaudeville was this. Vaudeville was not a place. It was basically a system that preceded radio, preceded TV, of course, preceded movies, and people went out and saw live entertainment. And if you look at Ed Sullivan, that's the closest thing to vaudeville. It was like a guy comes out and spins plates for a while, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now here's the dancing bear. Here's a comedian. That's how it was. And if you look at it on TV now, it looks lame. But I think, well, you know, if we're all sitting in a theater, you know, it would make more sense. And that brings me to Phineas and Ferb. Should we go for it? Here it is. I want to see if we can, Sparks, wherever you are, I know this will bring a tear to your eye.
So the way I see it, the solid fuel rockets kick in the mall parking lot. Then we release the snakes during the corkscrew around the interstate. I'm gonna go get the snakes. Mom, you gotta come home right now.
Did a satellite crash into the house?
No. You gotta see what Phineas and Ferb are doing.
Seems like we've had this conversation before.
What do you mean?
I seem to recall you telling me that the boys were training monkeys to juggle bicycles, and when I came home, there was a stunning lack of monkeys.
I still don't know how they clean that up so fast.
So what's the emergency this time?
They're building a roller coaster!
Candace, seriously, isn't Phineas a little young to be a roller coaster engineer?
Aren't you a little young to be a roller coaster engineer?
Yes, I am.
Well, I must say, I'm very impressed. The forms all seem to be in order, although I've never seen them filled out in crayon before, so if there's anything I can get you, anything at all, just let me know.
Do you think we could borrow one of those gadgets?
But Mom, I'm telling you, they're building it and it's huge!
Phineas and Ferb present the coolest coaster ever, now open! Mom!
Phineas and Ferb got a roller coaster? You think we get a discount if we bring the flyer?
Maybe we better take it.
Here, look, 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 see? I told you I'm not crazy. I told you.
And you're not crazy because... I see your point, Candace. No crazy person would scream at a post like that. I'll be in the dairy section if you want to come yell at some cheese or...
What's the name of that band? The Swingin' Blue Jeans. You probably have all their hits at home. Double shot of My Baby's Love, and we got a double shot of interesting stuff here. We're going to segue from UFOs to criminal justice. I'll talk a little bit about that before the end of the show here. Today is the 29th of March. Let's see here. Okay. Thursday is April 1. And then we segue into a whole new month here in history. Let's see here. This day in 845, Paris was sacked by Viking raiders. You know, those are my ancestors, the Vikings. They were everywhere. I'm trying to make sense of that. They were sacking Paris, probably under somebody named Ragnar Lodbrok. Still on Uncle Rag. Then he collected a huge ransom in exchange for leaving. That happened. Yeah, it did. What else? Today is Eric Idle's birthday. Eric Idle was I think one of the funnier guys in Monty Python. He has a birthday today. Actually wrote a line for Eric. I wish I could remember what that was. You seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Oh, you have? See the thing with the witch? He dressed her all up.
Find the witch, may we burn her?
Burn her!
Who do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one!
Yeah, she looks like one!
Bring her forward.
I'm not a witch, I'm not a witch.
But you are dressed as one.
They dressed me up like this.
And this isn't my nose, it's a false one.
Well?
Well, we did do the nose.
The nose?
And the hat, but she's a witch.
Yeah.
Did you dress her up like this?
No.
Yes, a bit.
She has got a wart.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Burn her anyway!
Burn her!
Burn her!
Burn her!
Burn her!
are ways of telling whether she is a witch.
Are they? Huh? What are they? Tell us!
Tell me, what do you do with witches? And what do you burn apart from witches?
All witches! Wood!
So, why do witches burn?
Because they're made of wood.
Good! So, how do we tell whether she is made of wood?
Build a bridge out of her!
Ah, but can you not also make bridges out of stone?
Oh, yeah.
Does a wood sink in water?
No,
it floats! It floats!
Throw her into the pool!
What also floats in water?
Bread! Apples.
Very small rocks.
Cider. A great gravy. Cherries.
Mud.
Churches.
Lead.
A duck.
Exactly. So, logically,
if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood.
And therefore...
A witch!
A witch!
A witch!
A witch!
We shall use my larger scales. Right, remove the supports.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang down. After midnight, we're gonna chug a lug and shout. Gonna stimulate some action. We gon' get some satisfaction. Gonna find out what it is all about.
What it is all about. What it is all about.
Oh, at midnight, we gon' let it all hang down.
After midnight. After midnight.
After midnight, we gon' shake your tambourine.
After midnight. After midnight.
After midnight. So go be peaches and cream.
After midnight.
Gonna cause talk and suspicion. We gon' give an exhibition. We gon' find out what it is all about.
What it is all about. What it is all about.
After midnight, we gon'
let it all hang down.
Shake your tambourine.
Go shake a tambourine. Go shake a tambourine.
After midnight, so gonna be peaches and
cream. Go shake a tambourine. Go shake a tambourine.
Don't cause talk and suspicion. We gon' give an exhibition. We gon' find out what it is all about.
What it is all about. What it is all about.
After midnight, we gon' let it all hang down. After midnight, we gon' let it all hang down. After midnight, we gon' let it all hang down. After midnight, we gon' let it all hang down.
Eric Clapton. We're going to let it all hang down. It's 24 before the hour. It is Pirate Radio from Chicago. And let's see here. I'm always whenever I have Microphone Jones in the studio here, I always feel compelled to play some sort of an interesting theme song. Let's see here if I can find the right one, because he's a man that always is on a mission. And oftentimes, those missions are impossible. They really are. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about right now. I think. It's an impossible mission to get any music up there. And now a man who looks nothing like Tom Cruise. Microphone Jones. Hello. Let's see, I'll turn him on. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing? We haven't actually talked on the air in a while here, so people should know that you're still alive.
Yeah, I'm still around. I'm still kicking.
Yeah, good. So let's talk about something that's in the news here. Folks may or may not know that you have all kinds of training. You're trained in security. You're a licensed paramedic. And one of the things that you've been working on, you went back to school. I mentioned that because that's a big deal for somebody your age. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. After a while of not going to school and none taken.
And you're taking criminal justice.
Yeah, criminal justice and education.
So I thought that I couldn't resist asking you about this as we dredge through this year of police stuff. The whole idea is, how do people get trained? How do peace officers get trained? And I thought I'd ask you about that. People don't really know what that's all about. So tell me about this thing where you're reviewing situations where you may or may not need to use force, right? You
talking
about that? How's that work?
Continuum. Right. It's six steps that officers are supposed to take before they get to like deadly force.
All right.
So the first step will probably be just their presence alone, just people seeing them. Huh. And then it goes from that to officer actually saying, hey, introducing themselves.
Huh.
And then the steps go on and on and on until the situation gets to a point where they have to use deadly force or they don't have to use deadly force. Some situations that cops go through, they escalate fast. So it go from one to six and... 10 seconds.
I've seen it
a few times.
Yeah,
it's pretty deep. Being a police officer is not as easy as people think it is. And by the years that's been going by and the respect for the police officers are lower than what it should be, police officers have a difficult job.
Do you think that it's the... Are they being taught the wrong thing? Or is it just they're taught the right thing, but it comes out wrong?
Honestly, the stuff that I've been seeing with police officers doing the wrong thing are officers that's been out on the field for a long time.
Yeah.
And with that being said, like, I feel like they should be retrained at some point, at least go through a hour crash course of the force continuum.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they do that. A lot of places don't. A lot of officers there, once they're out there and they just kind of go through the motions. And 10 years from the time they started and they find themselves in a situation where they shouldn't have been in, maybe because they thought they had a grip on it or they forgot the steps that you needed to take.
Do you think things are, this is kind of a lame question, but you think things are dangerous, more dangerous than they used to be?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Why?
The way that people's minds are. Like, there was, like I said earlier, the respect for the police officers is gone for the most part. Yeah. You have some people that say, forget the police until they need the police.
Right.
It's very hard. You have to worry about back in the times, you had to worry about police officers. They had revolvers, and nowadays they have semi-automatic that holds maybe 14, 15, 16 rounds in it. Right. So, and the bad guys have those same guns. Yeah. So it's definitely hard to realize, try to figure out what you need to do in certain situations.
It's 18 before the hour here. This is Microphone Jones, our staff announcer, who also handles security for all kinds of stuff. Let me ask you a question. I'll be direct here. Mm-hmm. You probably have noticed that I'm a white guy. And with my glasses on, I can see that you were generally an African-American. Mm-hmm. So we debate a lot of this stuff here. And back when I was a kid, the police officers were all white men, mm-hmm. all old white men. And their bosses, the police chiefs, the senior people, the mayors, were all old white men. Mm-hmm. And then later, that changed, where we have now in Chicago, we've got an African-American woman who happens to be a gay woman. Mm-hmm. And we got more and more African-American officers than we ever did, Hispanics too, right? Mm-hmm. But none of that seems to have helped, is what I'm getting at.
Honestly, I think when people see the uniforms, they hate it.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter the color.
What color you are. If you're doing your job, they hate you.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that. They love firefighters, but they hate police officers. Yeah, heck yeah.
We got a shout out to your brother, OV, who's about to complete his training as a paramedic here in Chicago, firefighter.
Definitely.
Yeah, he did the climbing and all that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But I mean, dude, that's interesting that you said that.
Yeah, I don't believe, because I live in a neighborhood where I used to live in a neighborhood where it was like 90% African Americans.
Yeah.
And now that over time it's changed, it's like 50% African Americans, 50% Hispanics. Most of the officers are either black or Hispanic, and it's still the same way. It's like, you're not on my side, forget you.
Yeah,
to the police officers. And it sucks because the officer is just coming to do his job or her job, and it's just the uniform, I believe.
Yeah, and they want to see they want to see the fire department, not the cops.
Yeah, they want to see the fire department, but not the cops.
I gotta ponder that. If you're listening to us and you have a thought, I'd love to hear. We're gonna try to have more of you and less of me on the air here. We have a toll free number. It's 844-220-3300. And for what that's worth, you can be thoroughly anonymous. Just leave me a voicemail. You don't have to say your name, or you can reach out. It's radioanything@gmail.com if you want to send us an email about that. Yeah, I got to ponder that. We could do like a week of this. I could have everybody you know come in, everybody I know come in.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think we wouldn't reach a consensus, I don't think.
I don't think so either. It's one of those things, I honestly don't know how to fix that problem.
Yeah.
And I sat back and I thought about it a lot, and it's just, I don't know.
Who does?
Honestly, I don't think no one has the answer just yet.
Yeah.
Maybe if one thing that I have learned, that police officers, they stop doing more, they need to do more things in the communities.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that may help out a little bit, being more of a man in the uniform.
Yeah.
Just build a relationship with the community, and so people can know you, like, all right, when he's out of his uniform, this is the type of person he is, and actually understand that this officer is a good person in or out of the uniform.
You know, I mean, most policing we think is done by people in SWAT cars, vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it used to be back, obviously, before there were vehicles, cops patrolled on foot.
Exactly.
And your eyes just lit up. Are you going to tell me that we need more of that?
We need more of that. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. I don't want to argue with that at all. I believe, honestly, I think that'll help out a lot with officers walking down the street, actually speaking to people, talking to people, and actually interacting with the youth.
Yeah.
And I think that'll go a long way.
Because, again, it's easy to see somebody inside a car that goes by, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's the heat, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, all right, I like that idea. Cool. All right. This is a discussion we'll have more about.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a feeling that if we get a bunch of people like you and let you run it, then things would change.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah, you like that. Huh? We're not going to pay anything more, but we'll We'll see if you can fix that idea. All right, let's do something quick here. Hang on, we need a break. I need a break. I'll see if I can make you laugh. Hang on here.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Backup important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
I listen to some of this stuff and I think, wow, we are living in a dangerous world now. You have kids. You know, when I was a parent of young children, we would say, I don't know, for example, you cross the street, all right, here are the rules. Okay, I'll take my hand, right? Look at the, and if you do that, you will not get run over.
Right.
But if you don't do that, you might get run over.
There's a chance.
Yeah, so anyway. Do you have these discussions with your kids?
Of course. Yeah. Look both ways. Do you see cars coming? If you do, let the car go.
Yeah.
Or make sure the car stops completely
right
before you walk across the street.
When did we stop thinking that those rules were good? Right? I mean,
I just think...
You know what I'm getting at? It's like there was a basic thing that we got right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think by the time, as time went on, we wanted to gamble a little bit and just run across the street. And we realized that it doesn't work out as planned.
We got Easter baskets coming for some people. I don't know. Do I have to cover you? You got little J?
Yeah.
You got something? Little Big Z? Little Z? All right.
Yeah, we all got right. It all covered.
Do you? Okay. Because I like the big... The big chocolate bunnies, you know,
yeah.
you bite the ears off. All right, so anyway, let's take a, you got a second here, you listen to me, or let's do a little bit of a money break here. I'm going to identify, I want you to identify, MJ, some laughs here. I got a bunch of laughs. A belly laugh, you know, a belly laugh.
Mm-hmm.
A chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
A cry laugh. I don't know what that is. A giggle. And then a guffaw. You with me?
I got you.
All right. Belly laugh, chuckle, cry laugh, giggle, guffaw. Right, I'm closing my eyes. All right. Which one of those is this? Bella. Yeah. I don't know when he's done.
A chuckle?
No. This. See, I told you we could not avoid controversy. This is a chuckle.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
I know. That's about the more. That's a chuckle. What I played was the cry laugh. They're about to restrain him. He's gone. All right. So with the left here, we have giggles, guffaws, and belly laughs. I'm going to close my eyes here. Let's see what we got. Oh, God.
There's got to be a belly laugh.
No, that's a guffaw.
Really?
Yeah, that's a guffaw. In the middle of the Heimlich maneuver, they were trying to get there. Now, that's a guffaw. Here's a belly laugh. Fake. Fake. All right, let's see here. What's the last one? Oh, let's do a giggle. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It'd be funny if I could come up with something to actually make you laugh. I'll think about that. I think I went out with her.
Yeah.
Once.
How was the date?
How was the date? It was a belly laugh. Called Take the A-Train. That's a New York reference. That's one of the subways in New York. It is 5 before the hour. It's Gary Lee Wright on Pirate Radio from Chicago. As I said, it's coughing up an imaginary Easter egg. We have all kinds of stuff happening this week, and I was just trying to figure out how to make everything sort of point in a particular direction. I think I'm going to go do an Easter bunny thing later. I got onto Walgreens with about $4,000. You know, when I get a lot of Reese's.
You get a lot of Reese's.
So anyway, let me hit you with something. I thought this was interesting. I just asked you off the air a second ago. An experienced professional driver, if you've ever driven a Tesla or an electric car, you said no, right?
No, not yet.
Would you like to?
I would.
Would you?
I would.
Well, they don't need you because they'll just drive themselves.
I like to sit in the seat.
I was looking at that. There's a thing. Aaron and I are big Elon Musk fans. I don't know why, but they, as you know, they have this sort of automated, it drives itself, which sounded like a good idea, except apparently it doesn't work so good. And people, crash into each other, but, I don't know that I want to be in a car without someone in the driver's seat. Yeah.
I was on the E-Way one day, going down to 290, and I looked to the right, and the guy had his feet out of the window.
Oh!
Both his feet, they were crossed, and he was on his phone texting.
Oh, no.
And he was driving a Tesla. And I
was
like,
he?
Yeah, he was. I was like, dude, what are you doing? The car drives itself. And legit, the car drove up, and when the car got close to it, it stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the car went in front of him, then the car went with it. Pretty cool.
Well,
dangerous, but cool.
But when it works, and I guess they... That's the thing. These things, something that works 99% of the time is not exactly the same as 100%.
Exactly.
So I was trying to figure, I kind of know how they do it. I don't know if that's radar or sonar or something, but what the idea does, it does sense that and hits the brakes, but I don't know. But the guy, well, you said he had his feet out the window?
And... Yeah, he was chilling.
I think that when I think of it, I've been thinking for a kind of a, we're going to try to spin off maybe a YouTube series. That actually sounds good. Chilling with Elon Musk. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Natasha Rodriguez produced us from Chicago.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how much more than I've ever known. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.